Hello and welcome to this episode of the Lehigh Valley with Love podcast. I'm your co-host George Wacker of Lehigh Valley with Love, and I'm here with my co-host Northampton County Commissioner Jeff Warren. We're here to talk about some serious issues in our area by talking directly to people in the know and off the record with Lehigh Valley with Love. Jeff?
George, great to be with you, buddy. And on this episode of the Off the Record here at Lehigh Valley with Love, we wanted to focus on the issue of housing, the housing market in general, and how this issue has affected our region and what we can expect in the future. We have a couple of great, great guests with us this week. First, from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, she is the Chief Regional and Community Planner, Jill Seitz. And we've also have with us from the Greater Lehigh Valley Realtors, an expert when it comes to the world of real estate, Michael Bernadin. How are you both? And thank you both for jumping on here.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, it's great to have you. Sure thing. We want to dive into this issue. And Jill, I'm going to first pose a question and a topic to you to really start diving into this, because the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission recently worked in conjunction with the Urban Land Institute and Lehigh County to develop the Lehigh Valley Housing Supply and Attainability Strategy. So I'm wondering if you can talk about this very detailed report and what it's really brought to light in terms of housing here in the Lehigh Valley. I wish we had 3 hours to dive into this particular one, but we don't. But I was wondering if you could, again, you know, talk about what this report and this strategy has done in terms of bringing to light housing here in the Lehigh Valley.
Yeah, for sure. And we're still actually working on the project altogether. So the housing supply and attainability strategy kicked off in February of this year. And we see it as really the region's first deep dive into how much housing we have and how well that housing is meeting the needs of all the people that live here throughout all of our different life stages. And so there's three overarching areas that we're looking at, which includes the quantity of housing, really how many housing units were short, the diversity of that housing supply, do we have too much of a certain type, not enough of others, and then the price points of housing. So are there different housing types available at a cost that is attainable across all income levels? So by looking at all those factors and what we have, we're really trying to get to the bottom of what housing options are missing and where. And what we're finding really at the root of the problem is that today the region's short by more than 9,000 units across the Lehigh Valley, which is a really significant gap. And it affects all price points and income levels by increasing competition for those units in the market, which drives up costs and causes a mismatch between what housing is available and what households need. And then those mismatches also look different in communities across the region, because we have so many different place types. You know, we have rural countrysides, and those have small village clusters. We have growing suburban centers, historical boroughs, and our urban cities.
Yeah.
And so in each of those different form factors, we have different levels of infrastructure, and they're all growing at different rates, too. So that increases the difference of housing needs.
It's a very interesting topic, and the strategy that you were talking about there, Jill, like you said, it's still ongoing, and it's going to be doing some really good work in the future to give us data points that we're going to need, and as you know, elected officials out there are going to need in order to address this as we're moving forward. George, I know that you wanted to get into this issue more in detail, you know, with Mike in terms of some other subject matters as well. So go ahead, buddy.
Yeah. Well, just Jill was talking, it just made me realize again how varied the Lehigh Valley is in terms of, I'm sure Mike has had days, I'm speaking for you, but maybe where you're showing a house in the woods and then you're showing a house in downtown Allentown. And that's kind of, it's unique. So Mike, as someone who works directly with buyers and sellers, can you talk a little bit about, you know, what you have seen in the last few years when it comes to housing and the housing shortage and how it's impacted both sides?
Yeah, I mean, so the interesting part is if just going off stats, and I pulled some of these statistics just yesterday, because I kind of wanted to see where we've been over the past years. And the great part with our association is we have stuff going back years and years ago. So to give you just a ballpark figure, in 2014, December 2014, our percentage of 6-month housing supply was at 6.2%. Okay. It's basically like months of supply is kind of how we call it, or we navigate, or how we declare it. In 2015, we were at 4.8%, that same, just 1 year later. And then of course, we just released our market update for March, and we're at 1%. So basically 1 month of inventory right now, which is kind of funny because that's actually up for us. For the last year or so, we've been dancing less than a month, 0.2, 0.3 months worth of inventory.
Wow.
So our inventory is up overall. Obviously, it's not at the standards we want. The ideal moderation is six months worth, typically. That's what at least our National Association of Realtors likes to say, is 6 month is kind of like that perfect number. But overall, our inventory is up. The big thing we've actually seen, though, is more so it's the new inventory that's hitting the market and selling, and it's selling fast. The aged inventory, the homes that may not be priced right for condition, maybe not that accessible, depending when you're talking about whether it's location, whether it's type, the certain type of property. But the homes that are priced right for condition, ready for sale, are selling fast. And that's obviously what's creating, we're still seeing multiple offers. There's homes just hitting the last couple weeks that they hit the market. We have multiple offer situations because they were priced right for condition, and they were made attractive, put it that way, to the high demand of buyers that we have out there. Because, I mean, we still have a huge demand for buyers out there.
George, did you want me to kind of take it from here? Or did you have a follow up to that?
Well, I'm just trying to put my head around like what 1% really means. You know, is that because it just seems like much lower than what it should be? You know, are you finding that those older homes, you know, just they're sitting for a while, and that becomes an issue as well? Like if a home isn't sold in a year, then I might just be like, what's wrong with it? And as I'm looking through, or
that's the stigma. That's the stigma in itself right there is, we've been so spoiled, I think, with, I remember, let's go back to 2014, since that was the original stat that I used. You know, the average day on market was 73 days on market. So when you think of a home that, it's been on the market, we see it, maybe a second showing or a second viewing at it. Now with that such a lower supply amount, going to increase that demand, and those homes are selling. Our most recent day on market was like 31 days. We just released our last update, but we're seeing homes go faster. Now the homes that are on the market a little bit, 30, 60 days, sometimes, I mean, every case is different. What's the situation? You know, what is there a certain amount that needed to be hit when it comes from the selling side with the amount owed to a property? That's where you kind of dive into the interest rates and everything. But the big thing is, I think working with that trusted realtor can help you, you know, build that game plan for better success than just winging it, in a sense.
Lehigh Valley Health Network is now proudly part of Jefferson Health, and together we're bringing you more hospitals and outpatient locations for added convenience, more nationally ranked specialists for expert care, more clinical trials, and more innovation to improve outcomes. We're investing in your well-being and building healthier communities because more expertise and convenient care means better outcomes and a healthier you. Jefferson Health and Lehigh Valley Health Network, together for the future of care.
Looking for your next adventure? Come explore the great outdoors with L.L. Bean's Outdoor Discovery Programs at Nockamixon State Park in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. Whether you're brand new or building your skills, we've got something for everyone. Kayaking, stand-up paddleboarding, archery, fly casting, and more. Our expert guides make it easy and fun because we believe the outdoors is for everyone. Sign up at llbeanoutdoors.com today to get more outdoors.
A big thank you to our sponsors, Michael Bernadin with Remax Real Estate, Molly's Irish Grill and Sports Pub, Banco Beverage Company, Wind Creek Event Center, WDIY 88.1 FM, and of course our friends at Lehigh Valley Health Network. Thank you for allowing us to continue to bring these episodes to you.
Well, Jill, I mean, these are interesting discussion points that we are having here, but I wanted to get into the attainability of housing here. And dare I say the phrase and use the phrase, quote, affordable housing. And I'm not talking about Section 8 housing. I'm not talking about HUD housing. I'm wondering, Jill, what does the data look like when it comes to current affordable housing that's available and what we need to do really to make sure people have access to affordable housing where people can simply afford to live? Again, not Section 8, not HUD housing, but where housing is affordable.
Yeah, and this to me is one of the most interesting findings that we've seen in our analysis. It's been pretty clear for a while that housing prices were outpacing household income growth.
Yeah.
But actually visualizing how the housing economy has changed over several decades always has a sort of wow factor when we present that to an audience. So we've seen back in the 80s, the median cost of a Lehigh Valley home was only about double the median household income. So at that time, wages and housing prices were growing at more similar rates. And so people found that homeownership was a more realistic goal at a wider range of income levels. Fast forward to today, and now median home prices exceed 4 times the median household income.
Wow.
And so a household today would need to earn at least $85,000 a year to comfortably afford a $300,000 median priced home, but the median household income in the region is closer to $75,000. So that's that difference there. And we've also seen if the market continues on that trajectory, we're projecting that by 2050, housing will cost more than 7 times the median household salary. And so this widening gap is making it increasingly difficult to find housing that works. It's hindering mobility for different generations, like younger people entering the housing market in particular, face today's housing economy. And then they also have rising student debt, inflationary pressures. And that's one of the reasons why we see half of all renters in the region considered as cost burdened. They're having to spend more on housing than is recommended for them to maintain their financial stability. We've also heard concerns from local employers that their workforce is struggling to find homes they can afford near where they work. So now they're kind of looking more into neighboring counties, Carbon, Monroe, that are a little lower in prices. And that's having a ripple effect then on those workers' health, having a longer commute time. And then it also affects the region's traffic and our local economic development.
Yeah, it's... go ahead, George. George, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, Mike, talking about affordable housing and all the things that Jill was just saying, it feels like you and other realtors would be on the front line of getting those requests from employees looking for homes. You know, what does affordable housing kind of, you know, mean to you, that term that we do throw around a lot? And, you know, what have you seen on the front line, so to speak, in the market right now?
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, I think Jill, I think, hit the nail on the head with it. Workforce housing is something that's the key term that I think we use consistently. Yeah. Because the fact is, at the end of the day, what we have in the Lehigh Valley is you know, a very special thing. We have such a tremendous following of the universities. Obviously, you know, we know Lehigh, we know Lafayette, but Penn State, Lehigh Valley, Moravian, of course, owed to you there, George. And, you know, those, and even the great technical schools and community colleges that we have. So there's a lot of young professionals coming out of these institutions that obviously are getting a job. Where do they go? What do they do? And that's where, you know, affordable, I always look at workforce housing, you know, the 100K homes, the 200K, the 300K homes, that's what we're lacking. we're lacking for those. You know, our service industry workers, we have such a huge service industry here in the Lehigh Valley. And when I say Lehigh Valley, I know we encompass Carbon into our footprint. And Carbon's the same way. You know, Palmerton has seen a boom. So you, as Jill said, you've seen people kind of going out, opening that umbrella up a little more. So, I mean, that's kind of what we've seen of people get having to get creative with, okay, I can actually live here, but still be 45 minutes into the valley.
Do you think, I don't mean to interrupt, but I just had a really a quick thought is I live in a 100-year-old home. Do you feel like there may be that switch in taste? You know what I mean? Where people might be like, it might be more in vogue to go back to some of these boroughs.
That's a great question.
And buy some of those houses. Yeah. I don't know. Do you see any of that? Do you see people doing that?
Yeah, we do. I mean, and so there's a double edge to this. So the one end is that in itself. And that's where, like, I'll be honest, we just had a great meeting the other week on our government affairs committee meeting with the new borough manager of Slatington. You know, we're trying to open those doors and saying, hey, what can we do? How can we help you? You help us, we'll help you type thing.
Right.
So like trying to help build like a Slatington area, build that town up a little more again, bring in the housing, or how can we create housing there? But the other end of it is that we've really seen is, so you have the young buyer and the older generation buyer.
Yeah.
Now looking at homes that, you know what, they want more turnkey. They don't want the HGTV DIY project home. They want that. I just want to move in. Maybe paint, you know? So that's the other battle. We have such great history in the Lehigh Valley, but at the same point, what is that home? We plaster walls. I talk to numerous individuals and I talk about plaster walls and they're like, what is plaster wall? So it's, you know, that's a niche. That's a niche. So.
Sure.
This is an issue that is not just a Lehigh Valley based issue that we are talking about here. And Jill, I'll go back to what you initially talked about having about 9,000 unit housing shortage here in the Lehigh Valley. But this is a national issue. This is nationally, this is continuing to persist. The availability of housing and even what we are calling, quote, affordable housing and the need for housing, it just hasn't gone away due to the supply issue that we are continuing to face. So I was wondering if we can dive a little bit more into the supply issue itself and really kind of just how we got here and if we can start to maybe dovetail into how we really start to get out of it in various ways. So I'd love to hear your thoughts here.
Sure. Yeah. And I see it as, that there's a national issue causing the shortage, and there's also some special things about the Lehigh Valley that kind of exacerbate it. So,
okay.
I mean, everybody in the nation experienced similar things in the 2008 housing crash. You know, development dropped off in the Lehigh Valley in particular. Development for housing was really low for several years after that, but population did not drop off here. We've been consistently growing by about 4,000 people per year for decades, even before the housing downturn. So while the demand has continued to rise, that supply hasn't kept up, and especially with it dropping off in that period. Around 2019, I want to say, is when we began to really see the market begin to recover. And housing development proposals started to pick back up. And then when the pandemic hit, especially, that expedited our trajectory of housing development. We kind of were on pace. If you think of a housing chart, we were kind of going at maybe like a 10 to 15 degree upwards. And then in the pandemic, it really picked up to more like 30 or 40 degrees. And we've been sustaining that since then. Even though interest rates were down during the pandemic, and we had an influx of migrants from New York and New Jersey that kind of picked up in the housing market. That's why we saw a lot more of that development pick up.
Right.
But even with interest rates back up, we've still been seeing pretty high rates of housing proposals. So developers are definitely seeing that need in the market and wanting to build more. It's just we're constantly kind of playing catch up with that backlog of a deficit that we experienced. And with a population continuing to grow, it's a continuous challenge.
It's really our geographic region. This is where people want to come and live. Due to our distance from Philadelphia, from New York City, even Baltimore, people want to live here. Yeah. We are in a corridor of the United States where we are blessed in many ways. And, you know, it's also been a curse with regard to this issue, for sure. So, George, I don't know if you wanted to.
You did some of it, too. Like when we're thinking about how houses are built, like I'm sitting in mine that was built, you know, 100 some years ago. And now, you know, when they're building these new developments that go in the urban areas, they're the multi-unit type things. And then people get upset because those aren't affordable. You know, I don't know. That's what I'm trying to, like, it's also just the fact that they're not building stuff like the house that I'm even in right now. And that leads me, it's a good segue to Mike, to talk about, you talked a little bit about Slatington. Quick shout out to the farmer's market up there. If you've never been, go. It's way better than you could even think. It's amazing. The farmer's market and the antiques there. So when it comes to some of these municipalities, what do you see some of them, you know, doing to offset some of this housing issue? Do some do it better than others? Do you think that some things are going to need to change, or?
I absolutely think, I mean, I think everything needs to change to a degree. You know, one of the things I think that we've seen personally from our local level has been, you know, the getting our government affairs committees more in touch and more in tune. Like I said, we just had our borough manager of Slatington into our committee meeting and we sat down, we talked. Yeah. We're opening those doors and saying, listen, let's become partners. We need to be partners in this. We need to change our mindset of what we've been doing and how we've been doing it. Because at the end of the day, I know change is scary, but change is how we evolve and build ourselves Absolutely. To the great Lehigh Valley. So sometimes it's, we have to get out of our own way. Other times it's, you know, you got to have those conversations, whether good, easy, whatever the heck they are. We just have to have those conversations. So I know personally, from our association level, every year we try to update our municipal databases so our members have the access to who's doing sewer lateral inspections for when a home sales, who's doing municipal inspections, what are they, who do you contact, are there moving permits, everything else of that. So that's kind of us opening that door, trying to reach out and be to the municipalities and say, hey, let's talk, let's have conversations. And I think that's the biggest thing. That's how anything's going to get fixed or corrected. You know, we talked about AI not too long ago, and we've, whether you want to say reluctantly or just any which way, we've leaned into it. And AI is a huge part of how we can all really build on ourselves. I mean, it can simplify a lot of things, especially municipality zoning forms and everything else.
Yeah. Michael, I don't have to tell you guys this.
Yeah,
I don't mean to cut you off. But you go right anyway, because this is just like an aside. But just like the Lehigh Valley is so crazy in the fact that you have, I forget how many it is, 20, 30 some different municipalities. They're all next to each other. They're all doing their own thing, right? And they're trying to, I'm preaching to the choir here, right? But that's just crazy that it can even work at all. So
regionalization is a good thing. Yes, that's what you're saying, Jordan. Regionalization can be a good thing.
I don't want anyone to get mad at me. I'm just
exactly,
or just the communication, as Mike's saying, like making sure that a borough can contact another borough or can contact whomever and have that open line. I think.
I also want to say this too, and I do, you know, as we are going through this housing issue in the Lehigh Valley, and we're going to continue going through this together in the years to come and trying to figure this out collectively as a community, I truly believe, and I don't mean to pontificate by any stretch here, but our state government really needs to step up in various ways when it comes to zoning issues, you know, when it comes to what is allowed on a local level of government and what we can do to help the process. As a county commissioner, there are a number of initiatives that I would love to embark on. And I have been, told by some folks, some legal folks, that no, you can't really embark on those because it is not it doesn't fall within the purview of the law for you to embark on those type of initiatives. And it really comes down to the Pennsylvania Municipal Code. That Pennsylvania Municipal Code, Jill, I'll tell you right now. I tell you, that pesky little thing. But as we're getting ready to close the discussion here, and Jill, I really wanted to kind of dive into, you know, that basically what I was just talking about here, the best and the most efficient way for us to, whether it's build more homes, make sure there's more of that housing supply here in the Lehigh Valley. Because I do believe that it's, you know, our state government, and I do believe it's the restructuring of our zoning laws that do need to happen. Us all working collectively together. What are your thoughts on this particular topic here? As I know that you and folks at the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, very much into a regional planning perspective from an overall. I think we may need some more entities coming together from local government and state government standpoint. So I'll stop pontificating here. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. And I agree about the importance of bringing together multiple sector, private sector, public sector, local governments. And actually, what Mike was saying kind of made me think about how, because we want to recognize that there are a lot of communities are kind of taking steps towards addressing some of these housing issues. The cities in particular, I can think of, they've done a lot of really public efforts to increase housing supply, you know, innovative tasks, tactics like allowing alley houses, and we hear about accessory dwelling units all the time. And I think that's something a lot of local governments are struggling with, is the public pushback against the idea of increasing housing. And from what we're kind of hearing in a lot of the engagement that we're having around the housing strategy is that a lot of local governments really do recognize the need to increase housing, and they want to be able to facilitate it in a way that makes sense with their local plans. But developments come in, and then the public kind of comes out in masses, and that scares the elected officials a little bit. Yep. They kind of back off, you know, they want to be reelected in the future too. And so they're trying to hear the community's needs. And so I think that some public education could really go a long way. How we're all collectively talking about why housing is important, what all these different needs are that people are facing, and just kind of working all together from the development side, financial lending, local governments, you know, schools, employers, just like all coming together to talk about issues in a sensible way that illustrates how that's all connected.
Well, the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission is doing a really great job, and the greater Lehigh Valley Realtors are also doing a great job with engaging with this very, very important and critical issue. It's something I'm going to be talking about a lot more at Northampton County Council and within our county government for sure. George, I don't know if you have anything else you want to dive into here as we're kind of closing things out.
I guess Bethlehem City Council just approved some apartments that are going over a main street. And, you know, the public pushback right away is, no, don't do that. I get it. It's historical. And the truth is in the details somewhere there. Hopefully they'll do it right. I think a lot of the frustration that I see is from people saying, oh, well, there's a new apartment building going in. That's great. But the apartments are $4,000, you know, so I can't afford that. What am I? That's great that they're putting in new construction, but it doesn't matter. I can't even apply for it. You know, what are the first steps maybe in addressing that or talking about it? I don't know. Like, I just know that that's the sentiment I hear back. And that's the most frustration is we can see all this building, but it doesn't matter if it's unaffordable for the person working down the street.
Something that we've heard through this process from the development side is by the time a developer acquires the land that they want to build on and all the materials to build even just one house, that one house, just to account for the cost of acquiring the land and the materials, could already be $4,000, and they haven't even engineered a plan and put the plan through the local regulatory process. And so these kinds of like external economic factors are elevating those housing costs now. So something that I am kind of hoping will come out of the housing strategy is to explore opportunities for maybe some alternative housing construction types. Manufactured, I've heard, has come a long way since kind of some of the stigma that you hear with manufactured or mobile home parks back in the day. Now they're much more resilient. They're a lot cheaper to build and they can go up much faster. So just those factors can reduce the cost of housing. And create more housing opportunities, not just for rentership, but also for homeownership, which would be key to unlocking that financial component.
Sure. Mike, your thoughts on that?
No, I mean, I'll be honest. I want to give a huge shout out to Jill and the entire LBPC group, because I know more recently we've had some great dialogue, great discussions, and working with ULI, the Urban Land Institute, putting kind of a lot of big minds at round tables and trying to bring everybody to the same table and say, hey, what are we doing? And some of those discussions have been great. I know one individual he's actually going to be speaking at our general membership meeting coming up, Jason Duckworth. He's developing the project down in the Promenades. And 7 years, it took him 7 years to get to the point where they're at now. And that's not even shovels and grounds and everything else. And
blows my mind.
And he still has a list of like 50 plus things that he has to, you know, do. So stuff like that, it's sitting there saying, my gosh, what are we doing? But that's kind of a thing of, that's why only big developers or big builders can come into our area. So when you talk about policy and the public forum,
right,
they need to understand that the small builders, small developers can't do it anymore. Exactly to what Jill said. I mean, they just can't afford it.
There are Sears catalog houses in West Bethlehem that they ordered online online. They ordered through the mail and they, you know, like, so
it was a kit. That was it.
So how is that okay? But like an ADU unit is somehow crazy. I think we just need to, I agree with Joe. We need to kind of rethink, like, things are going to change and that's okay.
We need to reframe it. Yeah.
Well, this has been exhilarating. Thank you guys.
It's been great.
Honestly. Yeah. No, it's a really, eye-opening discussion with some real takeaways from it. So I really appreciate that. Thank you both for your time.
Absolutely.
All right. Jeff, do you have anything left to say for this episode of Off the Record with Lehigh Valley Would Love?
Two individuals that you just heard from who have a plethora of knowledge when it comes to housing here in the Lehigh Valley. Tell you, George and I, we're not just going to continue to talk about issues such as this, but other issues that affect our Lehigh Valley community in a lot of different ways. So stick around with Lehigh Valley with Love. Make sure you're subscribing and following Lehigh Valley with Love, and look for the Off the Record podcast whenever we're uploading these podcasts. We're looking forward to talking about more community-based issues in the future.